Hello, passengers, and welcome to episode 19 of the Game Train podcast. My name is Carl, and as always, I got Callan here with me.
Hello, everyone.
And as always, thank you so much to all our listeners and all our new listeners. We've got a few popping up all over the place. So, hey, Poland and you guys over at the US and UK over there, we see you and thank you very much for joining in. And I hope you enjoy the ride. But without further ado, let's do the news. Red Dead Redemption 2 just released their second trailer, which we'll put on our Facebook page if you guys haven't already seen that. It looks pretty interesting. They showed a lot more story and what looks to be like your main character, Morgan, I believe his name was. Well, at least his second name. They showed some other characters in there. We're not quite sure if they're going to be playable, like, you know, have that sort of mix of GTA 5 style, or if it's just going to be the one. We didn't see John Marsden. Not sure if he's going to be in it, but presumably so, because it does look like it's Dutch's gang and the story of how that all came together, etc. So that looks pretty exciting, but yeah, check that out and let us know what you think about it.
A new PlayStation VR model is coming out, which will allow HDR pass-through and has a slimmer connection cable.
Also, Skyrim has just released a new survival mode, and that's for the special edition of Skyrim through their sort of the Creation Club, which is already available also for Fallout 4, where you get mods downloaded and you can do it on like PC and Xbox and PS4 as well. The new survival mode will have all kinds of sort of extra things that they put in to make it a bit, you know, harder and crazier, like hunger, fatigue, cold. Hunger's gonna impact your total stamina and your ability to wield weapons, things like that. Cooked food will restore more hunger than uncooked food. They're getting quite detailed in the whole sort of survival side of things. And I do believe mods like this have been out for years now, but this one is official. So that's the big news about this one. But also worth mentioning is it's going to be free until the 10th of October. And that is going to be for PC, Xbox, and PS4. So jump on that soon if you guys want to check that out. Definitely worth a look, I think.
A complete edition of Nioh is coming to PC on November 7.
Also, Ubisoft has announced Discovery Tour Mode for the new Assassin's Creed Origins, which is kind of like a big, huge, combat-free museum tour type thing of the whole of the Egypt that they've created. I guess they're so super proud of the world they've made, which by the looks of things they should be, that later on in 2018, I believe it's coming out, so as to prevent people from finding secrets and spoilers, I guess, before they actually play the game itself. But yeah, it's going to be like an educational thing. I picture it kind of like one of those behind the scenes or making of versions of the game where you click on nodes and in different areas and they talk and explain things about the place you're in, which should be really interesting. I don't know, I'm pretty keen to look around the pyramids and the Sphinx and stuff like that and discover things about it and learn and just have a look. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Did you have anything else, Mr. Callan, sir?
No.
All right, nice and clean. Also, before we wrap up the news, just quick announcements for the PlayStation Plus October library. They revealed that last week. The lineup is awesome. They've got Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Yay.
So the full massive game, which is one of the best games this generation. So I'm pretty surprised and excited about that. But
and it's free.
Yeah, completely free. I'm a bit jealous, but not really, because we got to play it ages ago, but it's amazing. I don't know, if you haven't played it yet, it might be worth jumping into Ground Zeroes first, which I believe is super cheap at the moment. That thing keeps popping up at about, you know, between $7 and $10 all over the place, so keep an eye out. But it's not essential, but it does really help sort of set the pace for the Phantom Pain. The Amnesia Collection is also on PS4 this month for free, which is both Amnesia games. Monster Jam Battlegrounds for PS3 and Hustle Kings for PS3, which is like their snooker pool game. They have Hue for PS Vita and PS4, and Skyforce Anniversary for PS Vita, I should say, PS4 and PS3. Now, Games with Gold on Xbox have also announced their lineup, one of which is Gone Home, which is a great game, sort of walking simulator, discover stuff inside a house type thing, but really fun story. And that's all of October. The Turing Test is going to be October 16 to November 15. Oxenfree is still there, so jump on that while you can, and that'll stay there till October the 15th. And for Xbox 360, which is also backwards compatible on Xbox One, is Rayman 3 HD, which will be available until the 15th of October, and Medal of Honor Airborne from 16th of October to 31st of October. And man, that's confusing, and I just wish it would just be all October, like the PlayStation. There, I said it.
Yeah, I don't get the whole splitting it in half and, you know, on the 15th this is going to release and this is going to be up until the 15th. I just do what PlayStation do and go, you know what, month of October, this is the games you can download. At the end of October, that's it.
You miss it and you get a whole bunch of new games. It's the same thing but more confusing.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sitting there listening to you talk about that. I'm like, man, I'm just confused even. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Like, it's so boring. I know, I'm like, I've got to say this stuff because this is the info. So,
yep.
Sorry, listeners, but we don't make the rules.
Man, and just come on, Microsoft.
And I wish I could just name the games, but then you'd miss out and be like, you said this would be here. I'm like,
maybe we should just name the games.
No, then I'd feel bad. They're like, what? You said it's here in October. I'm like, yeah, some of October. Fine print.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, come on, guys. That rant aside, there is the news. Let's get right into it on the games we've been playing this week. It's been an interesting week, actually. A lot of fun. I guess the first big one, besides, you know, the game that we're going to be featuring, that's kind of newsy, is we've both been playing a little bit of our SNES Classic Minis.
Yay!
Or Super NES, or SNES, or yep. Whatever you want to call
it. Oh, also, I apologize for last week. I said it was coming out on a Friday, and it actually came out on a Saturday. So
yeah, I was also an instigator of that information.
Yep. Yeah, I feel bad about that.
Sorry, guys. But yeah, well, it's well and truly out now. It's yes. A lot more available than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to Target, and they just had, like, stacks of them sitting there, like, just stacks. And it was like, when I went into Target, all right, so I got there at opening.
Yeah.
There was a lineup at the door to get in of, like, I don't know, 30 people or whatever. And then when they opened the doors, it was like running of the bulls in there. Like, everyone's running through the store. I'm just casually walking, like, oh, girl, this pre-ordered. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Waltzed up to the lay-by counter, picked mine up and wandered out. But yeah, all these people are sprinting to, like, the video game section to try and get their hands on one. But it's like, I don't think you needed to do that at all.
It seems like they've actually really come good on that availability thing. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what it's like maybe next week.
Yep.
And see if they're still out there. But yeah, when I went to pick mine up from EB, it was just like this huge pile. He's like, yeah, we got heaps of spares back here, like behind the dude. So, and there was only two of us there lining up. In fact, there was this lady at the front that was waiting at the closed doors for like, nearly half an hour, according to the guy at the counter. I rocked up maybe 10 minutes before opening, and she's right there staring at the door. And then the door finally opens, and she runs straight to the Xbox section, grabs a copy of FIFA, and says like, is this the new FIFA? Cool, I'll take that. And everyone was just like looking as she walked away going, what? What just happened?
What?
This is, okay, all right. And even the guy's like, I swore she was here for the Super NES. She's been standing out the front there for ages and, oh well.
Wow.
But yeah, all that aside, it's pretty great. I think the emulation is just stunning.
It's small.
Oh yeah, isn't it tiny? We should mention, I did do an unboxing, if you guys want to check that out. That's on our Facebook, facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast, and on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, so jump on there, give us a like and a follow, and check out the video on there.
Yeah, if you want to see the thing and you don't have your own one, and see what's inside the box and what's going on, but it's so much smaller than I thought. I never got the NES Classic Mini, so I didn't have anything to sort of physically compare it to myself, but when I took it out of the box, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's like the size of the controller nearly.
Yep.
And apparently people have been asking if the cartridge slot works, which is hilarious because once you see it, you'll be like, oh, okay, the whole thing is nearly the size of a cartridge. So, of course.
What I probably would have liked to have seen is maybe the cartridge slot works, but they like release like a special like add-on down the track where they have like another 20 games that you can plug into the top. That would have been really sweet.
Oh, yeah, that would have, like, in an itty-bitty mini cartridge.
Yeah, like the Super Nintendo expansion pack, and they have stuff like Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yeah, and Chrono Trigger, etc.
Yep.
Or just Super Mario All-Stars.
Yep. Anyway, let's not have a whinge about what they didn't include on there. Let's talk about what they did include on there.
Oh, man, and it is awesome. It's, like, probably one of the best official game lineup libraries ever since Orange Box.
Wow.
That's my opinion.
Look at you.
What? What's up?
Orange Box, man. That was like, what, 2006?
Yeah, but wasn't that one of the best official compilations of games ever?
It was all right.
It was all right. Okay, you're on record. You're on record right here. Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, hang on. I'll bet if the Atari collection had Frostbite, you'd be calling that the best collection of all time.
If Frostbite came out by itself, it would be the best collection of all time.
It's an awesome collection, like, because I remember seeing the NES Classic Mini lineup, and I was like, yeah, it's all right. But do I really want to go spend money on this? But when I saw this one, I'm like, yes. Yep.
Mm. Yeah, this is going to be a lot of hours of play, I think. Speaking of which, though, and we should tell you guys, we're going to jump into every one of the games on there. We're going to do two every week starting next week. Alphabetically. So we're going to start with Contra 3 and whatever comes after Donkey that. And Donkey Kong Country. We'll play through those and we'll have a little chat and talk about, you know, the game, its history, how we felt back when it came out, how it feels now, if it stacks up all right, you know, in sort of modern day gaming landscape and so on. But yeah, we'll be throwing that into our games we've been playing section every week as well until we've played through all of that, and then we'll pick our favorites and trying to get as much as we can out of this and really do it the justice that it deserves, I think.
Well, when I boot up the suit, can we keep talking about the SNES Mini for a bit?
Of course.
Or are we moving on?
No, we can.
Oh, right, okay, right. So when I booted up mine, I'm like, wait, where do I start? Because you got 21 games, right? So we should really go through some of the games for people that might not know. Okay, so you got, like, Contra 3, Donkey Kong Country, F-Zero, Final Fantasy, Earthbound.
Well, Final Fantasy 3,
Final Fantasy 3 or 6, depending on which country the game
is. Some say is the best one. Yes. So that's pretty awesome.
You got Super Mario World, you got Yoshi's Island.
Yeah.
Super Castlevania 4, Metroid.
Mario Kart,
yep.
Mega Man X. Yeah. What's the Kirby ones?
Oh, yeah, there's two Kirby games on there. Kirby's Dream Land or Kirby's Dream Course, is it?
Yep, we really should have this list in front of us.
We should have really had this list in front of us. This is just going off the top of my head.
Yeah. That's how memorable these games are, you know? That's a lot of games off the top of your head, I have to admit. Yep,
that's right. Best launch.
Super Mario RPG.
Mario RPG, of course.
I never even finished that one, so I'm so excited about that. Earthbound.
Oh, Secret of Mana.
Yeah, Secret of Mana.
Yep.
Oh, man, I haven't even started that one.
Yep. So, yeah, look, there's a heap of different games on there, which, like, if you're a fan of Super Nintendo, there'll be something on there that you like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and worth mentioning also before we move on is they do have interesting filters on there to change it up, and some of them work much nicer with different games. Like, there's the one that turns it pixel perfect, which really sharpens those pixels and make them, like, look high def and awesome, which I think looks great for games like Super Mario World and Mega Man X. But then if you play a game like Donkey Kong Country or Mario Kart, it looks quite ugly when it's very crisp pixels, because those games are almost designed with that sort of subtle blur that the old CRT TVs used to have between the pixels. So they actually have a CRT filter to make it look more like the old TVs, and that looks awesome for games. I just jumped in to have a look, but games like Donkey Kong Country, Mario Kart, Yoshi's Island, Super Metroid, and the Final Fantasy 3/6, those games look really nice with the CRT filter on, I thought.
Yep.
But worth experimenting and playing with.
Oh, another feature it's got is a save state feature as well, whereas you can push a button on the Super Nintendo and it will save that exact moment you are.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Yes.
So have a good bit of a play of that in, like, the early stages of your games and get your head around it, because it is cool, but it is a little trickier than it is in some sort of...
Yes, I went back to the start on a couple of games when I was messing around with that.
Yeah, and you try and save over your last one and then
you
disappear the current one and...
Yep.
So, yeah, have a poke around. It's simple once you get it, but it's not as intuitive as it could have been.
The only annoying thing that the button is on the actual console itself, so if you want to do that, you have to get off the couch, walk across, push the button.
Well, they're making you relive that Super NES experience.
Yep.
You know, and it's, I guess it's because that controller is an exact replica, so there's no home button or anything like that on it.
Oh, and also, so people know, you don't have to buy the additional AC adapter with it as well. If your TV has a USB port, you can just plug it straight into that. That's what I'm running mine off. Or you can also plug it into the USB port on a PlayStation or an Xbox and power it through that.
Yeah, that's true. Which, you know, we assume will be right next to it if that's where you're setting it up.
Mm-hmm.
But failing all of that, you can use any of the 10 billion iPhone chargers that you probably have in your house with that empty USB socket. Any of those will work. And if you have none of all of those options and you hate the idea of buying a normal sort of no brand one from some electrical store for like $10, then yes, buy the Nintendo one for like $20 if you must. But yeah, let's move along. More games we've been playing this week.
Oh, yes.
We both jumped into SteamWorld Dig 2 on Nintendo Switch.
Yep.
And I love it. I think that's just a random surprise game that I didn't see coming. I didn't know I wanted to play, but I've spent a lot of time on that. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like got that very Metroidvania feel to it, where it's got that little open worldish style, but you can't go everywhere because you don't have the right ability. But then, you know, you go exploring, then you find the right ability and you go, now I can hookshot up to that ledge. And then you hookshot up that ledge and it opens up a whole new area and off you go again.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like that little map and that formula of like going, you dig down deep into this world. And then right at the top is like a town where you bring all the sort of valuable minerals that you find and trade them in for upgrades and buying new stuff and whatever. And just that formula, it's just right. Like, it's really fun. The soundtrack as well, I found myself getting really pulled into. I'm loving the melodies. Like, the actual music in it is super nice, very catchy. I've had it turned up quite loud just to really get into that vibe in every sort of different location, but it really fits.
Oh yeah, it's a heap of fun, and the game's like $30 on the Nintendo eStore. So if you've got a Switch and you like that open little world exploring sort of thing,
yeah,
go give it a go, because it's a lot of fun. It's good value for money, actually.
And because of the, you know how you just press off and you put your Switch to sleep? Because of that, I've had SteamWorld Dig 2 sitting on my coffee table, and that has been my Destiny 2 loading game.
Oh, right.
So there's just no moment that I'm sitting there doing nothing, because sometimes I don't have the best internet at my place, which lets me play Destiny fine, but the loading screens often take ages, especially if you're waiting for Crucible matches and you're looking for other players. Sometimes I'm there for like 4 or 5 minutes just staring at the screen. So now I almost don't want it to load, because I'll just pick up SteamWorld and start playing, and then it'll be like, all right, you're in. I'm like, no, I'm not ready. I don't want to play yet. So I've been having a lot of fun using it like that. Which brings us to that next game we've been playing, obviously, Destiny 2.
Yeah, more Destiny 2. I'm sort of almost hung up my Destiny 2 boots.
Yeah, which is impressive to me, because I think you told us that those boots would have gone up maybe 2 or 3 episodes ago. So I think they did all right.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Oh, I jumped on and did some of the faction war stuff.
Yep.
That was all right, but yeah, look, as I said last time, I think, I still want to do the raid, so that's the only thing I really want to do, and then I think I'm kind of done with that game in terms of a hardcore sense. I'll jump on and play it casually.
Yeah, and when the expansions come out?
Yeah, I just think from now on, just way too busy playing games for podcast.
Yeah, there are so many good games coming out, but
yep.
I'll still be on there if anyone ever wants to jump on. And, you know, you can add me, which I don't know if I've mentioned before. I'm just the space lyrical, and I'll be on there doing my thing every now and then.
Yep.
And our clan is Old Revolver, if you want to find that and join us.
Oh, yep. And if you want to add me, this is on Xbox, by the way. My gamer tag is Your Face, which is YOURFASE.
Yeah, all one word for Callan's one, right?
Yep, that's right. It's all one word. So, yeah, add us on there if you want. Say hi. Come have a game. If you're on PlayStation, mine's actually Trixam, TRIXAM.
Yeah, and mine is The Lyrical again, but with an underscore instead of a space.
Yep. So, yeah, feel free to add us on those mediums if you want.
And lastly, just to mention for Destiny, factions actually got added since we were last talking properly, and they do it a bit differently this time. In Destiny 1, it was just these factions that stayed there all the time. Now, it seems, I don't know if it's weekly, I'm not 100% sure, but this time it was. For 1 week, you picked one of the 3 factions, and depending on how much XP you got for your faction, one of them became the winner of the week, and whoever that was sold their special weapon, and each faction had like a special weapon that they would sell if they were the winner. This week it was Dead Orbit who won, and so they have their own like what is it, like a scout rifle?
Yeah, scout rifle.
And if you were in Dead Orbit, you get to buy it for 1,000 glimmer. But if you were not, you can still buy it, but it's 50,000 glimmer. But yeah, so that's about the only new thing that happened in Destiny 2 this week.
Cool.
All right, that brings us to this week's shout out.
All right, so this week's shout out goes to another podcast out there. These guys are called Bitstorm. Yes, right. So you can find these guys on iTunes or just through podcast searching, all those sorts of things. So pretty much, this is from their blurb, because it's kind of a weird one to explain. It's a comedy game design podcast by two guys who know nothing about comedy nor game design.
Nice, I like it already.
Join Trevor Scott and Ben Slinger as they take prompts from random word generators, movies, and game titles, and more, and turn them into occasionally hilarious but always interesting game designs. So pretty much, I was listening to an episode last night, and they had a word generator, and they, you know, generates a word each, and then they sort of put those words together and then try and discuss what a game would be like using those words.
Nice.
Like design a game from it. Yeah. So for people that are into that sort of thing, go check out Bitstorm. It's quite good.
Awesome.
Yes.
Cool. There you go. All right. And that brings us to the moment we've all been waiting for, this week's feature game.
Cuphead!
Cuphead. So, Cuphead, developed and published by Studio MDHR. It is a boss-heavy, old-school sort of platformer. And when I say boss-heavy, I mean like 70-30 to bosses, maybe even 80-20.
Yeah, I'd say it's more 80-20.
There's a lot of bosses. It's like where you just, you're in a big open sort of map, you know, like Super Mario World or Donkey Kong or Final Fantasy, and then you just walk from, like, you can kind of pick which ones you do next, and we thought it's just level after level, and then there's bosses, but most of them, you click them, and you go straight into a boss.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shock. So
yeah, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, well, what this game, before we get right into that, before this game is, it is a, yeah, it's a side-scroller platformer in this very 1930s-esque style of animation and feel to it.
Yeah, everything to the filter of the screen.
Yep.
Sounds. Yeah, to the music. Everything is just like that old school.
And the game's hard.
Wow, that's an understatement.
I won't even say, okay, the game is brutally hard.
Yeah, that's getting there.
Unforgivably hard.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
The Dark Souls of platformers.
Yes, absolutely.
Like we were saying, it's 80-20 bosses, like pretty much. And yeah, and these bosses are hard. Like, it was a bit of a shock walking in and going, oh yeah, here we go, another stage. Because the first stage I did is a run-and-gun stage, where it's your traditional sort of side-scrolling platformer, which is still very hard, by the way.
Yes.
What, 10 attempts in the first level it was, I reckon, something?
If that, maybe even more.
Something like that. Anyway, got through that and was like, half sweating at the end, like, right, okay, let's get this moving, all right. And, you know, whenever someone goes, oh, it's a really hard game, you go, oh, yeah, okay, all right, I'll see how hard it is, you know. Sometimes you jump in and you go, ah, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then you play Cuphead and you're like, yeah, this is hard. Yeah, and went into this, like, other level thinking it was just going to be another run-and-gun level. Oh, no, out jumps a giant potato, it was, I think.
Yeah.
Fighting this giant potato, and I'm like, oh, wow, this must be the first boss. And, like, you know, I was doing a heap of damage, and then I'm like, wow. And then he drops down. I'm like, oh, yeah, that wasn't so bad. But then a giant onion pops up. And then you're fighting the giant onion. Now got killed. And then went back and did it again. And then there's a third phase, which is a giant carrot.
And the game is as outrageous as it sounds.
Like, this game is just wild in terms of just everything that's going on the screen. Like, if you're on drugs playing this game, I think your brain would just melt onto a puddle on the floor. Like, I can't even explain. Like, as I said, you're fighting giant carrots and stuff.
And then, like, dragons and clowns and birds and
clowns and roller coasters and
constellations, and
it's just a weird, wacky game. It's out of control. And
in the best way.
There is stuff going on all over the screen. So you're trying to dodge stuff, hit the boss, get ready for the next ability that's coming through. And then the bosses have so many different phases. Like we're saying, like the vegetables, that was three different phases. Some bosses have five or six different phases that you go through in the fight.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's generally three hits and you're dead.
Yes.
And there's no way to recoup life in the fight. So if you get hit, bang, you know, every little bit counts.
Oh man, I hate doing it, but now if I get hit within the first like 10, 20 seconds, I'm just like, nope.
Unless I'm learning the fight. I'll sit there and cop that and be like, all right, okay, yep. But yeah, if I'm at the stage of thinking, right, I can do this now.
Yeah.
I complete it. Yeah, if I get hit 10, 20 seconds in, even in the first phase, I'll restart sometimes.
Yeah, because it's like I need to get to that second phase with all my health or this is just not going to happen.
Yep.
But more on those visuals, which we can't praise enough. Like that, it is just stunning. And the animation is like silky smooth.
Yep.
Like in all the craziness that is going on, it is just gorgeous to look at. It's everything's exaggerated. The explosions, the facial expressions, and like the tearing apart of weird and wonderful faces of these strange creatures and backgrounds, and everything's dancing and moving.
You're playing a cartoon. You're playing a 1930s cartoon.
Oh, absolutely. They have that weird filter where there's like that sort of blue and red phasing in the back, which you can actually turn up and turn down in the visual options menu. But that just adds more to it. Like there's all like flickering and dirt on the screen. The music is awesome. When you first turn on the game, there's like this little jingle and you can barely press start to just begin playing because you want to hear the whole thing because it's
like a barbershop quartet.
Yeah, and it's funny and it's just recorded so well. And there's like other songs in the game as well that make you do the same thing, like that one I told you about when we reached the dice guy.
Yep.
And you just stop there. I don't want to keep moving because you're scared it'll end the song, so you just stand still and just listen. The presentation is brilliant.
Oh, straight away it gets 10 out of 10 for style. Like if the brief was 1930s cartoon, bang, like A++, hit it out of the park. It's incredible how much they nailed that.
And the controls are super tight. Like, they feel really good.
I've changed my control setup a couple of times. I didn't like the original button layout.
Yeah, I found a really nice setup for myself that really works. And yeah, we do really recommend have a play with that first. I mean, a lot of times you just trust in the game and go like, no, they put it like this, so it must work, you know. But for this one, both of us, we played for ages, and then once we change it, it helps so much. It's like a new game once you get your head around it. Yes, I have a play. Like, I put the dash button on you know, the one of the shoulder buttons instead to free up my hands to use other buttons instead of... They had it as one of the face buttons, and you had to move it away from jumping or from shooting, which every millisecond counts in this, so...
Oh, yeah.
Move away for a second, half a second, and there goes one of your lives, which, like we said, could just cost you the whole level.
Yeah, exactly. It's also two-player co-op as well, couch only though, so we haven't had a chance to do that yet.
Yeah, so we will try that this week.
Oh, yes, and, we will. Yeah.
Have a chat next week about how that goes. And we have a feeling that'll really help the difficulty, but we don't know yet if they just throw more stuff at you or...
Yeah, I could imagine bosses having more health, which will make some bits harder.
Yeah, so... But you can revive each other.
Yes.
When you die, so... But it's not just like you don't just touch them and they revive. You have to do a special maneuver, like a parry on their ghost, and sort of press the jump button right at the right moment to revive them. So even reviving your teammates is not just a walk in the park.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, we had a chat this week as well. Callan, you asked me if I thought it was unnecessarily difficult.
Yep.
If it was like, which is definitely worth talking about because this is... Besides its visual aspect, which is gorgeous, the difficulty is like this game's hook. Like, this is its personality. So, yeah, it was weird. I mean, I've played it a bit more now since you last asked me, and I don't know, it's hard to say, like, because, yeah, so Callan, just to clear it up for everyone listening, Callan asked me, do you think this game is necessarily or unnecessarily difficult? Like, is it too hard? Do they just kind of push it for the sake of pushing it? And it's hard to say because it is so difficult. And they like, I mean, you were talking about the random things that happen in the patterns.
Yeah, like, so you'll be playing, you'll be trying to learn a boss, and then you're like, all right, I think I got this down. But then he'll just change his pattern.
Yep.
Or, and it's just like, come on. Like, you know, I'm
on top of already being hard.
Yeah, you know, like, it's like, all right, so he did the, all right, so the last three tries on this, he's done the small jump first. All right, you know, and then it's like, cool. And you gear up ready for that small jump. But then you go, oh, no, I'll do the long jump now.
And just land right on your head. And you're like, come on.
And you're like, what? Oh, come on, what the hell? You know, like, you got to be ready for everything. And, yeah, oh. Man, I have said many swear words at the TV screen playing this game.
Oh, it's lucky we don't know or have the means to do Let's Plays yet, because this
would have been rated R for what I was yelling at the TV screen.
Yeah, I don't even want to. I've said some words I didn't know I remembered or never knew I even learned.
Yep.
I'm like, whoa, okay, Carl, time to stop.
Like, but the thing is, like, it's such a beautiful game, and I feel like people are going to be turned off by how hard it is.
Yeah, and also, we were just saying this before we started recording, but a lot of games like this one where it's like, okay, we get it, we get the entire sort of theme and what this game's about. Sometimes we'll play to a certain point and go, I have more than enough, you know, that I need on this game to be able to talk to people about it and to review it. I may have to move on now to other games and maybe not come to that or come to it way later. And I almost feel like this for Cuphead, but because it has that that difficulty that kind of separates the men from the boys, it's one that we both feel like we have to finish, because it's one of those games where you need to say, like, oh, Cuphead, yeah, I finished that.
Yep.
You know, just as like an achievement. A game is achievement.
Yep, exactly.
Say, I played and finished it, because just to say you played Cuphead is like, it's cool. Like, all right, so now you know what hard means, but did you finish it? Like, can you? It's like a dare. The bloody game dares you, and I hate it for it.
Yeah.
Because now I have to hold up to that dare and go, like, all right.
Yep. For me with the game, when I've been playing it, I felt like, you know, you go into each, like, boss. Because it's pretty much what the game is, just a chain of bosses.
Yep.
And, like, you go in there and you're like, how am I going to, like, you know, first few attempts, how am I going to beat this? How am I going to beat this? And then you slowly start to progress.
Yep.
And then you go, okay. Then before you know it, you have gotten to the fourth phase or the final phase, and then it clicks in your head, I can beat this. And then you sit there and just hammer it out for maybe the next 20 minutes or whatever, however long it takes you to beat.
Yep.
And then you move on. I feel like with every boss, it's like the same sort of thing. Like, you, this realization of, man, this is too hard, I can't do this, this is stupid, to the point of, I can beat this now, let's beat this.
And it's, isn't it weird how, like, as soon as you start a new boss, it is just, you just go like, oh my god, what? Yeah. What is that? Who are you? What is what? What? Yeah, like, every level.
That was us on the microphones the other night, because we're playing
every
it.
Every level.
We're playing it on our own, like, talking on the headsets as we're playing it, and it was just that the whole night. What? What is this?
Yep. And if one of us had played it before, one would go like, what is that? And we go, yeah, you must reach the dog balloon bit, hey. And like, yeah, what the hell? And then the dog balloon. Someone would go like,
your screams and dog balloons were so funny that night.
those dog balloons, man. And then the roller coaster comes and slams you, and it's like, come on.
And then you get to the final phase, and then it's a super fast roller coaster. And you're like, how do I do this? And then I've worked out you could jump on the carousel. I'm like, you just jump on the carousel. It didn't hit me once.
I get to that fourth place. Yeah, I jump on the carousel. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is easy. Next minute, baseballs being thrown up at you.
From
jumping
penguins.
Jelly beans. I'm like, I'd love to see what's in people's minds who haven't seen this game, who are trying to just picture it from what we're saying.
I know.
But you know what I think? Whatever it is you're picturing, that's probably what the game looks like, because it is someone's just crazy dream animated. But what I was trying to say in a long, super long-winded way is these, you know, you first get into these bosses and just go like, what the hell? But the game teaches it so subtly and so cleverly that by the time you get to that fourth phase of just learning the boss, to go, all right, I've got this boss now. I kind of figured out what each phase does, and by the time I get to the fourth, I think I know how to beat it. And then you die and you start again. And then without knowing, you get to that fourth phase and you're like, all right, let's do this. But you've got there without losing any health, because your brain is just on the fourth phase and you're like, wait a minute, I just nailed those first three, and 10 minutes ago I thought they were straight up impossible.
Yep.
And you just kind of fly through them. Like, your brain, you just get this muscle memory, and this focus that just gets you through it, and you don't even care anymore. You're like, yep, nailed it, yep, nailed it, yep, nailed it. All right, fourth phase, let's go. This is the hard part. And you never really stop to think like, wow, those things were killing me like every single bit of my health, and now I just like flew through it. Then you lose one or two bits of your health, you finally kill the boss, and you're like, never doing that again, and you just kind of move on.
That's so, right. So saying all that, what do you give this game?
Oh, man. Okay. I want to give it an 8 carriages out of 10, but I have to give it a 7.5 because, sadly, because of that difficulty, it is fun and interesting, but I think it pulls it down just a bit for a few reasons. One, I think it's super sad that it might rule a lot of players out because of that. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you and I and any sort of hardcore gamers will just have a lot of fun with this as the challenge and the dare, but I think a lot of people are going to miss out on something really, really magic in the world of gaming just because of that difficulty.
Oh, okay.
And also, for me personally, as much as it's awesome and fun while I'm doing it, like I just said, that difficulty kind of cuts out the replayability, because once I've done a level, as fun as it was to live through, I just always feel like I am never going back to that. It's hard to say if it's negative or not, because like each time I finish a level, I feel this really cool feeling of achievement. I'm like, wow, I did that, I nailed it. But I just never want to see those things again. I have like terror visions, you know, of that flower and those frogs.
Dog balloons.
And the dog balloons. But yeah, it is a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the visuals alone. Even if you don't like hard games, if you can find a way to play this, just play level 1, kill a few bad guys, and just live that experience just to have a look at it. Jump on someone else's game or something.
But and have a crack at a boss like the flower boss or something like that, and just
and just to be fair, sorry, before I finalize on that score, I have to say that neither of us have tried easy mode, which we don't know how much easier that makes it, so that could change my score, to be honest. It might be a lot easier, so anyone can play it, but I have a feeling that it's probably not going to be too much easier, just judging from how these guys roll. But just officially know that that's where I'm at when I give this that score. So it's a 7.5 carriages out of 10 for me.
All right. Well, I've actually rated it quite a lot higher than yours.
Nice.
And so I've gone with 8.9.
Wow, nice.
I'm giving it that. This is the most stylistic game I've played in, well, I'd say all year.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's fair for sure.
The feel and style is just bang on. That's amazing. Okay, the game is hard, but if the game was too easy, it probably wouldn't get the same draw it has. Like, it's sort of one of those things that works for and against it.
Yeah.
It's going to drag its particular audience in, I feel.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it would just be jumping and shooting.
Yeah, and which would be fun, but what the hook for me is how hard the game is, and I want to beat the game, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
And that's what keeps bringing me back. Like, if it was just a normal platform, I'd be, but because of the difficulty, yeah, okay, it's going to alienate some people, but that's what's drawing me into it. And it is a frustrating game. I've gotten quite angry at the game. I've made some bad words at the game many times. But I'll tell you what, the elation when I beat a boss is like nothing else. It's like beating a boss in Dark Souls. It's like, come on, you know, it's like, this is awesome. Like, I've done it. I've beaten that challenge. Yep. Next one, you know, and that's what keeps bringing me back. And I feel like, yeah, I feel like it's a really, really polished, high quality game. And I'm going to give it 8.9.
Nice. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Cuphead. Let's move right along, guys, to this week's episode. Nope. Let's move right along, guys, to this week's backtrack segment.
Yes.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
Boom. All right. This is a segment where we look at this week and preferably this day in the history of games. We just, you know, I like to go pick a random thing that happened on this week or this day if I can, and have a look and have a chat. Now, this one I was pretty stoked to find because, you know, it matches up to our Super Nintendo Classic Mini. But on this exact day, October 4th in 1995, Nintendo releases Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island for the Super Nintendo.
I love that game so much.
Isn't it?
And I started playing it the other day on the SNES Mini, and I just love it. The music is like...
It's so
the
good.
Soundtrack is like one of my favorites ever. And the little drum beat before you start a level. Dun, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And just we were talking about style before. Like back in 1995, this was like the amazing style of game.
Even,
you know?
Even before you say that, I found a little tidbit about that here. Initially, Nintendo execs wanted Shigeru Miyamoto to give the game the same type of CG look that Rare achieved with Donkey Kong Country, because that game was just so incredible and amazed everyone on the Super Nintendo, because it was like they were calling it their 32-bit game.
Yep.
But Miyamoto refused. And instead, he went the opposite direction and gave the game a visual style similar to crayon drawings.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful game. Like, if you've got a SNES Mini, play it. It's so good. Like, you might go, oh, it looks like a little kid's game. It's an awesome game. Go play it. It's incredible. Like, that's easily a 9 out of 10 platformer right there.
Oh, easy. I think it might still be the best Yoshi game. I reckon it's better than Yoshi's Woolly World.
I think it's better than Super Mario World.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. This was so fun. It was just the art style was so cool, but they also mixed it with that, like, they had that new effects 3D engine that they were putting in a few games, like Star Fox. It mixes with that crayon look. Gorgeous game, and it still looks amazing.
Absolutely incredible game. I love it. Yep.
But yeah, so that was today in the history of games.
There you go.
We're rounding up to the end now, but we're reaching the section where we take a look at some of our passenger queries, our questions.
Yep. We've all got right, a few kick off with Reef, since he writes in every week.
Reef, hello, yep. Welcome.
Hello,
welcome.
Reef.
We have to get you on the show one day.
Yeah. He'd just ask us questions the whole time, I feel.
Maybe we could do a question special. but let's see, what did Reef ask us this week? What is your fave game on the Super Nintendo Classic so far?
Oh, Super Metroid. I'm 3/4 of the way through it. I just keep playing it. It feels so good. Like, this game came out in 1994, but it still transitions so well to today, like, in just terms of what the game is, and I just love it.
Nice. Well, mine, I kind of made it obvious just earlier. Yoshi's Island is probably the only one I've spent a little bit of time on at the moment. But as we said, we'll be playing all of these games. So we'll probably have a better answer for you, Reef, mm-hmm. in a few weeks.
Yep.
But yeah, so far, Yoshi's Island for me, it still feels like that magic. As soon as it opened, all the memories come flushing back in.
That little drum beat at the start?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. So good.
Good times. Another, did you want to do this question, Mr. Callan?
You can read it, I'll answer it first.
All right, from Paul, we have, out of all the games you have played, which do you think would make an amazing movie?
Oh, well, Cuphead would make an amazing animation on its own.
yeah.
In terms of movies, actually, The Last of Us, straight away.
Oh, yeah.
Straight away, that one comes to mind. It would make an awesome movie. Cast Hugh Jackman as Joel, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, nice. My answer to that is zero of them. I'm just in this, you know, pool of people that just think games should be games. Even some of the ones with the most amazing stories are made amazing because they're part of an interactive adventure and experience that you live with these characters. And time and time and time and time again, they try and put it on the screen where you're just sitting there and watching it happen like a big old cutscene. And for me personally anyway, it's just never worked. It's never translated. Like, that magic never translates, no matter how awesome the story is. Like, I love the story in Final Fantasy X. You know, I think it's beautiful. I love the story in, like, Last of Us. Some of those are just so interesting and fun. But if you put them on the screen and I'm just watching it happen, I don't know if it'll feel the same, because part of that thing for me, and like in Last of Us with Joel and Ellie, part of that pain and intense feeling you feel with them, because you just worked to get to that stage, and you kind of, you're almost emotionally and, like, there's something else, like, I wouldn't say physically invested, because you're not running around with them, but you're, like, controlling it, and you feel part of those emotions in a way that just watching it on a screen can't copy. I don't know, I've never quite felt right seeing games being made into movies. That aside, I am excited for Tomb Raider.
Well, fair enough. Well, there you go, Paul. For me, it's Last of Us. Carl is a downer on this, and he's like, no.
Wow. I don't know. Sorry, Paul.
Yeah. But party pooper Carl here's like, nah, I don't want any game movies ever. Nah.
Well,
but
you know,
mind you, he'd be probably there day one to see the Last of Us movie. It did come out, so yeah.
I'll be there day one for all the game movies because I still love games and I like to see what happens with them.
Cool.
Speaking of downers, that brings us into our lame train.
Oh, lame train.
Yes. So we're going to do our lame train hype train section, starting as always with the lame train. Callan.
Yes.
Would you like to do the honours?
Yes. So mine is to do with the SNES Mini. Sadly, I know we praised it before, but there is one thing that really pissed me off. The length of the cord of the control.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so I get it out, I'm like, oh, what? And I look at it, and I've had to, because of the, where my lounge room is, I had to get my SNES Mini, put it on the floor, and then bring the cord, the control up to the couch. And even then, I had to sit on this other part of the couch where I don't normally sit. It was awkward. I hated it. So I had to go out and buy an extender for the cord.
Damn.
Not too impressed.
Yeah, well, let's, you know, hopefully they did say, they have announced that the Super Nintendo Classic Mini will be back next year on a second run. So there's speculation as to whether that means longer cables or wireless cables or more games or the same plus a few more or like a whole different library. We're not quite sure. There's no more dates sort of announced.
Is this the
nothing.
NES Mini or the Super NES?
Super NES Mini. They've already said is coming back next year on a second run, which is, yeah, really preemptive. But there you go.
All right.
Cool. My lame train, just a quick one. It's kind of a running theme for me, but I just saw in some news lately that they've revealed and released one of the cutscenes from Star Wars Battlefront 2 for everyone to watch and enjoy. Hooray.
Mate, don't watch it if it's a trailer and you don't want to know what's going on.
Yeah, and I didn't. So, good. Problem solved.
Good.
Thank you. I just... Well, just to slightly elaborate, trailer I'm all for, and that's fine, but a whole cutscene section of, especially something with Star Wars, where more of the story of Star Wars is such a big piece of pop culture and all that kind of thing. So, and I you know, it's not a whole movie, but I feel like every cutscene and every piece of that new story, which, especially because there wasn't one in part one, is exciting and new and interesting. So releasing a whole cutscene, I just think is very Nintendo showing us all of Mario's outfits again. Just for me personally.
Oh, I had another Mario outfit spoiled this last week from a Nintendo screenshot, so that was fantastic too.
Oh no, I haven't seen that yet. I've asked Callan not to show me to see how long it takes before it's thrown in front of me. I'm yet to see it, so I'm staying clear so far. But yeah, that's our downer lame trains, but let's move on to our hype trains.
All right, well, you can kick it off this week.
All right, my hype train is, I had to mention it because, you know, I promised this person I would. And it's less of a hype train and more of a hype experience, but which is just really cool. And it happens a lot, but to different sort of people and different kind of games, but not as often as I'd like it to myself. And it was just so magic. And this happened while I was jumping around on my own, just cruising around in Destiny 2, trying to get through one of these challenges, which told me I had to go find some lost sector where you find a logo painted on a wall and then you got to find some secret entrance, which is normally fine, but this particular one I just couldn't get my head around. I didn't know where it was. I was jumping up and down this thing for like 5 or 10 minutes looking like a right idiot, and I get this random message on my Xbox, and it's just some random person called Shifty Alpaca, and the message just says, follow me. And I've been getting a lot of spam on different things lately, you know, via this podcast and via other things on my thing and Twitter and Instagram, of different things of people saying similar things, going like, follow my page, do this. I'm like, ugh, now they're finding me on Xbox? No, I don't want to follow your thing. So I quit out of that. And then I saw this person standing in front of me in Destiny with the name Shifty Alpaca written above his head, waving at me. And I'm like, oh, you mean actually follow you? Wow, okay, I'll do that. So I followed this guy and he led me straight to the secret entrance. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. So I messaged him back and said like, oh my God, thank you so much. That was bugging me so much. And he just wrote back and said like, lol, I thought so. Anyway, enjoy. And he disappeared, and I never saw him again, ever. He just showed me the entrance to this cave that was bothering me, and on I went with my day. And I just thought, what a magical piece of gaming that is. You know. I love that.
So what I gathered from this, person helps you in game, hype train.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm so positive about people helping out.
I'm sorry, it's just the... I was just listening to that. I'm like, wow, that's like every interaction in every online game ever.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know this person. I thought it was beautiful.
I don't know a lot of the people that I've had help from or helped in online gaming either.
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry, listeners. And sorry, Callan. If my positive feel good moments weren't quite up to par, but anyway, just to show you what a real hype train is, ladies and gentlemen, Callan.
No pressure.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hype train of the year coming at you now, live on Game Train, episode 19.
So I was playing World of Warcraft the other day, and I was having trouble with a boar, and this guy came up and helped me kill the boar, and it was amazing, and I'm so hype. No, my hype train this week is the EB Expo, which is happening on the Gold Coast this weekend. Kyle and I are attending the EB Expo. It's our first expo together. Hooray.
Hooray.
Really excited to play games there. Like, they're going to have Mario Odyssey to play. So watch out for those costumes, Kyle.
Wow. That's true.
Shadow of War, they're going to have that to play. That's actually our review game next week as well. So stay tuned for that.
Yes.
They're going to have Ni No Kuni 2, which comes out next year. I'm interested in having a look at that. Monster Hunter World. All these games to play. So I'm excited to play all these new games that are not out yet.
Nice. All right. Well, yeah. Okay, fine. That was a pretty good hype train.
Yeah. Cool.
not bad. I'll let that one go. I won't shut it down live on recording, but...
No, it's all right.
No, you did all right. Anyway, like you said... Next time we come back, we'll talk about our EB Expo experience.
Actually, we're going to do a special little mini EB Expo piece as well over the weekend.
Yes, we are, with hopefully some visuals attached as well. And yes, Shadow of War.
Yes.
Obviously. Which brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And just before we go, ladies and gentlemen, Callan's closing fact.
Okay, so this is a bit of a long-winded one, so bear with me. All right. A penguin in the English version of Wario Land 2 throws bowling balls at Wario. Right?
Okay.
If they hit him, he becomes dizzy, he burps, and needs to splash himself with water to go back to normal. But in the Japanese version of the game, the penguin actually throws beer. So this explains the out-of-place animations and why Wario needs the water in the English version. Like, they just, you know, switch the animation to a bowling ball instead of a beer. Yeah, so it looked a bit out of place. But yeah, it sort of makes sense once you play the Japanese version. The beer was censored in the English version for obvious reasons.
Wow, okay. There you go.
There you go. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, subscribe, like us, share us around to your friends. You know, get everyone involved.
All the fun stuff. Guys, thank you again so much. This has been Game Train.